today's episode of the Walking With You podcast. I am your host, Dina Adams, and today I am talking with Deepak Sahni, and he is out of Canada, so it's been really enjoyable having some Canadians on my podcast. It's been so fun. You guys are an amazing bunch. You don't have to try very hard. But thank you so much for being here. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation as well. So
absolutely. So Deepak and I met in a networking group, what is kind of like the little mastermind thing for us. And it's only been like 4 or 5 months, probably. It seems so much longer than that.
Yeah, it's probably been, maybe a bit longer, but not
maybe a little
less
longer.
Than a year for sure. Less than a year.
Yeah,
maybe,
not too long.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I really like about Deepak and why I wanted him to come on and share his story, he's very intentional, very heartfelt. You guys will hear that from me about a lot of the people that I bring on here, because that's something that aligns with me and the purpose that I want to bring to this space is I want people to be real and authentic and willing to share their story. And Deepak is very much focused on helping others be their best self, helping them to bring out their best so they can live a life that is full of whatever they want. And his whole approach and demeanor is so just chill and relaxed. And that just really excites me, because some people, I can't keep up with their whole energy. It really exhausts me. But Deepak is just amazing. And being an anti-aging and longevity coach, I think, coupled with his story of overcoming that he's going to share with you guys today, I think will be very impactful, very encouraging, and hopefully spark something inside of you that says, yeah, maybe I think it's time to actually take action that I've been saying I want to take for a really long time to improve my life. So I'm really excited.
Well, thank you for that warm introduction. I really appreciate it. Should I just jump right into my story?
You are welcome. Actually, I'm going to have you do something else first.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us, obviously we already know who you are, but what you do, who you serve, and what that kind of looks like. So we get an understanding of your business background so that your story of overcoming to get to this place will make more sense.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. So yeah, so I should say my first career was as a CPA. So I'm an accountant by profession, recovering accountant, I like to say, and you'll learn when I tell about my story later, how I got to what I'm doing now. But as you mentioned, I'm an anti-aging and longevity coach. So what that means is I work with people to, number one, change their mindset around aging and realize that, you know, there's more than what we, you know, is in the lexicon of society of what, you know, when you get to the certain age, you're supposed to feel this way. You get to a certain age, you're supposed to be on 3 or 4 medications, et cetera, et cetera, and really change the mindset around that. And I challenge people to think bigger and bolder. And the way I work with people, I work with people one-on-one, and that's more intensive and very deep. And we literally put in all the practices that people want to. And again, it's very customizable, very individualized, to literally get healthier, put aging on pause, and even reverse aging. And we can quantify that in a couple different ways. And then I also have a group program, which is 10 weeks. A little bit, we don't touch on all those topics in my one-on-one, and we aren't able to go as deep, obviously, in 10 weeks. But to really get people to move in the right direction to see actionable results in those 10 weeks and begin to move their life in the right direction for whatever their goals are. Again, very individualized for them. Maybe it's more energy. Maybe it's better sleep, even better relationships. Could be body composition things. And yes, put aging on pause and maybe even reverse the aging process. So I have a publicly stated goal to be a centenarian plus. So it's 100 plus. I know many people when they hear that, they're like, oh, I never want. That's, you know, and it's because we have that notion again of what maybe our grandparents went through or our parents went through. It doesn't need to be like that. We have cutting edge science. We're living in a new paradigm, challenge people to think bigger and bolder for their own health. And the people I work with, it vasts a great spectrum. It typically leaders, driven and successful leaders, I like to say, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're a corporate leader or a C-suite or senior, whatever, or, you know, a 6-7-figure entrepreneur, certainly those people as well. But sometimes it's just you're a leader in your own community. Maybe you're a leader in your church or your community organization. You're a volunteer leader. You're a leader in the school. You're the principal, a teacher, et cetera. Leadership comes in so many different ways. So I work with leaders because they have an impact on others. First, they got to make it in themselves, impact their own family, and then impact their community, whatever that looks like for them. So that's typically what I work with. Again, could be as young as low 40s. And I've had clients in their 70s, and I think I've had one client in their 80s even. So it's never too late to start either, to put practices in place to start to begin to age more healthily.
That's really amazing. And what did you call it that you wanted to be into your hundreds?
A centenarian.
Centenarian. My Nana was a centenarian.
That's awesome.
She passed away in November of this past year. She was 102. She was supposed to turn 103 this month. And her goal was 120. And I said, well, she got it backwards. She maybe was dyslexic a little bit. She made it to 102 and thought that that was 120. I don't know. I told her she was going too soon. But she did. She was up until probably a month before she passed away. She was still going out every Friday night and dancing. And, you know, when she was in her 80s, she lost her sight to macular degeneration. But she still was vibrant and lively and would exhaust the rest of us because we couldn't keep up with her. Like, it was amazing.
So two things there, Dina, and I love that you shared that. And I think you might have shared that before when your Nana did pass. So number one is we know people can live to 120. People have lived to 120. Mm-hmm. I think 122 or 123 is the longest recorded. And with modern technology, so a couple of things. So one, even if we are unhealthy, even if a person is unhealthy, modern technology can keep you alive. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a good quality of life, which I think nobody wants. But I think if you put the strategies in place as soon as you can, and I've challenged some of the younger folks, start in your 30s, 40s, as soon as you can, so that you can enjoy your 80s, 90s, and 100s. But we know we can do 120 without like a ton of medical intervention, science breakthroughs, but now we have those. So I think 100, 120 is going to be the new 80 or 90. So that's number one. And then number two, your Nana had it exactly on point. She's had a healthy, young mindset right until her end days. She was going out and doing fun things, probably things that she enjoyed from her youth, and stayed young on the inside, both mentally and in her heart, in her spirit as well. And that is a huge component that people discount to staying, you know, young and vibrant as we age. So play and having fun and thinking young is super, super important. And I wasn't gonna bring up the stat, but just I think it fits perfectly here.
Yeah.
And I just learned about this 2 days ago. I was listening to a podcast on some latest research. And they did a study, and I don't have the source in front of me, I apologize. But for people who think and act young and have that mental imagery of being younger, so all the mindset around that, they found in the study is it equated to 7.5 years of extra health span. So not lifespan, health span. Now, who wouldn't want an extra 7.5 years of staying healthy, of not getting XYZ dementia, Alzheimer's, cancer, whatever the case may be? Like, hey, we might all get them, but wouldn't you rather get it when you're 90 or 100 as opposed to in your 50s or 60s? So mindset cannot be discounted when it comes to health and longevity.
That's a really good point. And I think too, like, my Nana was interviewed when she turned 100 years old. She was interviewed on the news and they said, what keeps you young? Like, why are you still here? She said, because I want to be, like, at the choice. You know, that was the big thing for her, is she chose. And I mean, she played piano up forever. Like, she didn't quit just because she lost her sight. She still did things and wanted to live a good life so that she could have fun and enjoy it. She didn't let those things, as much as hard as it was for her, like, she didn't let those things be like, oh, I'm just not going to have a quality of life anymore.
Okay. Your Nana is like a great, example for us in this interview. So you could, two more things you brought up just for sharing that. So even though I would imagine the muscle memory of playing the piano was so strong, even though she lost her sight, there's probably some degree of skill acquisition. Now she had to really go for muscle memory and remember where things were because she couldn't see. So there probably was a little bit of skill acquisition, which is super important as we age. And we have to change it up. So I know a lot of people in my own family, like, oh, I play Sudoku every day. I'm like, that's great. But if you've been playing Sudoku every day for the last 10 years, like, your brain knows Sudoku now. Like, you have to change it up, change to a different game, play chess, play whatever, learn to dance, whatever. So that's number one. And number two, just what you said about your Nana, again, when she was interviewed, it sounded like, you know, you didn't use these words describing your Nana, but like her purpose, her why, her reason for getting up every day, her reason for living, that is super important. That is actually the number one thing. The very first thing, whether I work out with people in group coaching or individual coaching, is tying to what is your why. Why do you want these goals? Why did you hire me? Why, you know, and I'll, you know, as I talk to my story in a little bit, it's very important having a strong why, strong purpose, mission, North Star, guiding light, whatever you want to call it. Because when the going gets tough, sheer willpower alone, if you are a rock star, superstar, maybe willpower, just the brute force of it, can get you maybe 2 years. Most people can't last 30 days with just willpower. So you have to tie it to something that's important to you. So again, I'll talk about my story in a minute, but sounds like, you know, I obviously didn't know your Nana, but it sounds like getting up every day, she wanted to hit 120, or at least in her mind, she wanted to hit 120. She wanted to have fun. She wanted to go dancing. She wanted to play the piano. She had a purpose. She had a reason for keeping her youth as long as she could.
Yeah, it was awesome. Well, I think that's a great place to kind of shift into and give you the floor to share your story. You can start where you want. We have time, so.
Absolutely. And I won't go too long, but so yeah, I'll go back to the beginning. So as long as I can remember, as far back as I can remember, I was always the chubby kid. I always, you know, was always overweight and chubby and got teased and all that kind of sort of stuff. I was always sick all the time. You know, all these supposed allergies, I'm putting that in air quotes because I'll come back to that maybe in a bit. Chronic bronchitis, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that just went well on into, you know, into adulthood. I'd get something. You got to the point where you just stop going to the doctors because they're just, it's, what's the point? Like, it's going to just, whether you get medicine or not, it just takes the same amount of time to recover. So we got to the point where I get like sick 3 or 4 times a year for 4 to 6 weeks at a time. That's a significant chunk of your year that you are not performing your best. You can't exercise, tired all the time, you're achy, sore, et cetera, et cetera. At 17, 18 years old, so I'm a shade under 6 feet tall, 5'11 and change. At 17, 18 years old, I was over 270 pounds, 100 pounds heavier than I am now. So I'd be classified as morbidly obese. So at 17, 18 years old, I was morbidly obese. I was playing sports and doing all the things that, you know, high schoolers, you know, early adults do, but I was, my males are supposed to be at their peak. So, you know, the 18 to 22 physically, we're supposed to be at our peak. I was my most sickest and broken at that time. Fast forward to 8 years ago, my youngest daughter was a baby. She had just been born a couple months prior and I lost a bit of the weight and I started doing, you know, a lot of what I call chronic cardio. I started running, pounding the pavement, started the 5Ks, 10Ks, and worked my way up to half marathons, marathons, et cetera. But one day I just bent over to pick up like nothing, like something off the ground. I don't remember anymore. Nothing even heavy. And I just felt this tweak in my back. Anyway, I was just in so much pain. I could barely move. And I had suffered with low back pain off and on throughout my life, but this was like something I never experienced before. Anyway, the Western medical system, I like to say, wasted 18 months of my health, run around through the system, misdiagnosis, ineffective treatments, et cetera, et cetera. Finally, I got so fed up that I, you know, went and, you know, paid out of pocket to, you know, jump the queue, to get an MRI done and see what was actually wrong. I was diagnosed with degenerative disc disease in my L4, L5, L5S1, so low back for those that don't know. So now I had a proper diagnosis. So I was already working with a team of physiotherapists and chiropractors and of course my GP. And I was like, well, you know, there's not much we can do. You just don't get worse. You know, we can strengthen the muscles, which we were already doing with exercises and stretching, so you don't get any worse. And I didn't accept that. I had already started working with a naturopath a little bit earlier to my back injury, trying to get the chronic infection, my autoimmune condition sorted out. I found a treatment. You know, I think it's mainstream. It's pretty mainstream in many parts of the world. Many people in North America would still call it alternative, although I think that's slightly changing. But it was basically PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. We can circle back to that if you want later. But I started doing that. I found a doctor that was local that was able to do that for me. And they told me it's challenging. Low back is a very challenging part of the body. But so I had to do a number of cycles of this treatment. I'd already been trying to get it better as a runner before I hurt my back. So I was already into, like, you know, researching performance, and I already started making the smallest little tweaks to, you know, my nutrition and that sort of thing. But, you know, so I just put all that focus into healing my back. So I think I skipped a part here. So when I hurt my back, I had no flexion. I couldn't bend over at the waist. So very difficult to put on your shoes and socks. Makes it difficult getting in and out of a chair, which includes the toilet. You know, I was able to go to work still, but very painful sitting all day long. Again, I was an accountant sitting at a computer in a chair, getting in and out of the car. Cars are terribly designed for people with low back pain, as many people will recognize. But the actual thing that just absolutely killed me in my heart was my youngest daughter. Again, it was a baby. I couldn't bend over and pick her up out of her crib. I couldn't pick up my 10-pound daughter out of her crib when she wanted to, you know, reach out to me. I was too afraid that I was going to drop her, that I'd get shooting pain up my back and I'd, like, drop her. So I just couldn't do it. And my wife would have to pick her up, and I'd have to gently sit into a chair, and my wife would have to put her in my lap and reverse to stand up. And I was at my low point, and I didn't recognize it myself at the time, but I was probably in depression. I wasn't running anymore. I wasn't golfing. I wasn't doing any sort of fun activities. And I couldn't pick up my daughter, my newborn daughter. And my older daughter, I couldn't play with her to how I wanted to play, how we used to play together. I'm one of those dads that likes to throw their kids up in the air and spin them around and stuff like that. I couldn't do that even with my older daughter, who was just 3 at that time. So I was at my low point. So I was determined to find a way to heal my back. So I started doing the research. I came across the notion of inflammation just in general. And then found that what we eat is a huge component of bringing inflammation onto ourselves by our choices, amongst other lifestyle choices. So I took that research and went to the doctor who was doing my PRP the very next appointment I had, and said, like, "Hey doc, do I understand this properly?" He said, "Yeah, no, you absolutely got this." So I made that decision that day. I'm going cold turkey. I'm eating clean, and I'm using air quotes on purpose because that's evolved over time as I've learned more things, but I just that day went with it. The result was, not only did I recover from the procedure itself, and I get more. I always used how far I could bend over before pain as my gauge of how my back felt, and that was getting better. And I still had to do a couple more treatments. My autoimmune condition cleared up, with the exception of probably COVID last year. I don't know. I never tested, but so I was knocked on my butt for about 3 days. But other than that, I haven't been sick in 8 years since that happened. Like, not even a cold, nothing. And the last 60 of the 100 pounds just melted away in a number of months without me even really trying. And it was so quick, actually, that, like, so many people thought, you know, that I'd run into, that I hadn't seen well, thought I had cancer. Keep my hair nice and short already. And I lost so much weight so quickly. People literally thought I was suffering with cancer. I remember the day it kind of really hit me, you know, as life goes on, as many people realize, you know, you kind of get, you know, we're two professionals working, little kids, you know, running them around to daycare and activities, you know, you get behind on the laundry sometimes, right? So, gosh, okay. Grab a pair of pants, old pants from the back of the closet, put them on. It's like, huh. I called my wife. I'm like, I think I might've lost some weight. These pants seem really big. And she's like, "What are you, an idiot? Of course you have. Like, you can totally see it in your face." So again, for someone who struggled with weight their entire life, I had a scale, but I wasn't one to jump on the scale like every day or anything like that. So I back the closet, you know, blow the dust off the scale, get on. I was like, lo and behold, I had lost a ton of weight. Sometimes we need other people to see in us what we don't necessarily see in ourselves. So anyway, that was kind of the aha moment. But when people, coworkers, business associates, colleagues started asking me and like, "Hey, can I buy you a coffee? Can I take you out for lunch?" Like, "What did you do? Like, you're looking great," and, you know, that sort of thing. And I started formally, like, "Oh, I read this book, and check out this blog post and et cetera, et cetera. And it, you know, it took a while, but finally dawned on me. I really enjoy helping people with their struggles so that they don't have to go through what I went through, that eventually I made the career change. I went from being a CPA in corporate Canada to being, basically a health and wellness coach. And I started working with people, weight loss and back pain, people that were like me. But as I evolved myself as a person and what I want, to be a centenarian, like we talked about a few minutes ago, once I realized what was out there, once I expanded my mindset to what is available to us as humanity, if we choose to take it, I'm not settling for average. I want to be exceptional. And then I work with people who also want that for themselves. They want to be exceptional. They want to think bigger. They want to think bolder, and they want to buck the system, which has been kind of constraining us. So that's high level kind of my story. It got me to, how I went from a sick and broken account to the healthiest I've ever been, anti-aging and longevity coach.
That is quite the story. As I'm listening to you, I have all these people going through my head, including myself, and health issues and challenges and all the things that we try, right? We look into many different facets and many different industries to figure out how to help ourselves. And so I like that you shared that you started doing the research for yourself. A lot of people will just say, this is it, and I can't do anything else. And they're not open to looking into other options. And so I one of the things that really caught my ear was you said, I'm sure I'm looking back, I was probably depressed. And I think there's so many times, and people listening to this right now will be like, I'm good. That's not me. I don't need this. But at the same time, they're able to look at and check the things off. I have this injury. I can't do this. I feel like this. I struggle with this. This is hard for me. And I want to encourage people with something that if that's where you are and you're hearing those things and you're feeling those things and you might be going, gosh, that's me. I'm doing that. That's great that you have that awareness, because this isn't about supporting the bad feelings you have about yourself, because that's where you are. It's about encouraging you that you still have a choice because you're still breathing. And you get to choose to change your life and move forward. And like Deepak was saying earlier, it's starting with the mindset. It's believing. For me, I think, and you can tell me whether I'm wrong or not, but seeing that you have value and you deserve to put effort into yourself. That alone, regardless of what anybody else says in your life, everyone within the sound of our voices right now, know that you have value and you deserve to do your best for yourself, regardless of what anybody else says. And I'm sure there's a lot of people saying right now, oh my gosh, this so aligns with me. This is the person I've been waiting for and looking for. And I think there's also going to be some people that say, yep, I've tried everything. Why would this be any different? And so I'd love for you to share a little bit about how what you do, kind of how you're kind of set apart from others in the, I'm going to use quotes, the health and wellness industry, how what you do, because yours is anti-aging longevity coach. So can you explain to us a little bit what that means? Because I feel like you going through this journey, you basically coached yourself and you are living proof that what you do works. So help us understand more what that means, anti-aging longevity, because...
Absolutely. And I'm gonna come back to that question. I love that question, but something you said earlier, you actually said so many profound things, but I'll limit myself to one additional things. A lot of times until you're on the other side, you don't realize how sucky, I'll just use myself, how sucky life was before. You just think it's just normal, right?
Before we continue on today's conversation, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors who make this podcast possible. Mindset Revolution is for you. Nikki Green is a life and business resiliency expert and the author and creator of The Chameleon Mindset Revolution. Nikki has been helping people for over 2 decades overcome their challenges and achieve their life and business goals. Change happens whether it's forced on us or we create it. But too often people get caught up in this challenge of change, creating anxiety, and getting stuck. If this sounds familiar, there is good news ahead. More than a mindset book, this entertaining guide hands you the lifelong ability to adapt to every season of change. Through Nikki's new book, you'll create the happy life you desire with 5 philosophies for change, beginning with C for creative adaptability. Move from resistance to resilience by assessing and adjusting your risk tolerance and improve relationships when you learn to have difficult conversations with the important people in your life. The practical lessons in Chameleon Mindset will help you shift your mindset, sharpen your skill set, and overcome the things holding you back from dealing with change. Get your copy today and find a positive way forward with a 360-degree view of your future. And now back to our conversation.
This is normal. I'm normal. I feel this is how I always feel because you don't remember how feeling good felt anymore till you go over that hump. And maybe it's just one small step. Maybe it's two. Till you're like, oh, this is how it feels to fill in the blank, you know? And I would say just to tack onto that, you know, if you wake up at like chronically at 2:30, 3 a.m, can't back to sleep, there's something going on. If you don't have, you know, if your hair's falling out and you're under 50, there's something going on. You know, for women, if you have irregular period, something's going on. If you have irregular bowel movements or stuff like that, like something's going on. There's so many signs like, well, a lot of people have that. Yeah. A lot of people are sick and broken. 70% of the US or North American population is broken metabolically to some level. So you don't want to be average. You want to be above.
Term you just used. Well, you know, I've been like this for so long, I don't remember what it's like to feel good. And I would go even further and go, well, it's always been this way, so I don't know any different.
Because you don't remember anymore. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, too, I don't want to go down too many tangents because I want to answer your original question.
No, yeah, you're good.
But I hear a lot of times, like, well, you know, this runs in my family, and my aunt was like this, and my mom was like this, and my sister was like this, and oh, it's genetic and blah, blah, blah. No, sorry, BS. It's like that because you'll have the same lifestyle. You do the exact same things your mom did. That's why you have the exact same problems. It's not necessarily genetics. Genetic plays, I mean, different diseases have different rates of correlation, but as a blanket general, genetics maybe plays 10 to 20%. It's all lifestyle. It's all the epigenetics that's going to turn those genes on and off. So it's like, oh, well, I'm destined to get this because of my mom, my aunt, my sister, blah, blah. Yeah, BS. You live the same lifestyle. That's why you're going to get it. So you're going to break the cycle and live your fullest life or not. So that's, people have to make their own decision. So not to sound too blunt there, but that's bottom line what it is.
That's really powerful though. That's a eye opener like that. That right now, people's light bulbs should be going off. Like, oh my gosh. We don't look at it that way. I've never had anybody tell me that before. Oh, well, your lifestyle's the same. Like the way you were raised in their household. So you were raised and you had a belief around how you eat and what you do and when you, like all those things. And I would go even further and people go, but I don't live there anymore. I'm in my mid-40s or my 50s and it's still the same. Yet, I think that we also don't recognize there's choices that we make that are still very similar because it's the way it was always done. Exactly. So even if we don't live the same way as we did when we lived with our parents, we still have to look at all of the choices we've made along the way that also were probably not what our parents wanted us to be doing. Like look at our lifestyles and what we're doing and how much we're drinking or if we're smoking or if we're doing all these things or surrounding ourselves in environments that are not supporting our well-being and things like that. Like that plays a big part in how we feel.
Absolutely. And here's one really concrete example. Many families have these traditions like, oh, like this was passed down from my great grandma, this recipe, and we eat it every Sunday or every Thanksgiving or whatever. And then my mom made it. And then my grandma made it, my mom made it, and I make the same. It's like, you're not making the same dish your great grandma made or your grandma made. Ingredients have changed. Food has changed. Mm. Just because it calls for 2 dashes of this and a pound of that, it's not the same stuff. It's not the same stuff. Like, I'll just use wheat as an example. You know, the bread your great grandma made at home, fresh made bread, is not the wheat you're getting at the grocery store now. You're not making the same bread. So
that is a really good
point. It is a difference. So that's part of it too. Sorry, Dina, what was your original question? I forgot now. We went on that bit of a tangent there.
I don't know. I was so into what you were saying. I don't know that it matters. I don't remember my question.
Oh, how I work with people. How am I different? How I work with people.
Oh, yeah. How you're different.
Yeah. So I take, again, I'm not going to bash anyone because there's a need and there's a role for everyone to play. I find that, and again, not to throw the medical system under the bus, but you know, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Mm.
If you have a certain diploma or doctorate or whatever from somewhere, like, you're somewhat limited in what you can even do. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't great doctors that have expanded and, you know, all offer lifestyle or their functional medicine or whatever. So, and then even from the coaching perspective, you know, there's people that are great. They're just weight loss, or they just do X, or maybe do X and Y, et cetera. My approach is, and this is with my one-on-one clients, and I'll kind of distinguish between my group coaching clients. There's seven big buckets I think are all about health and healthy aging, health in general, healthy aging. And of course, in all those seven buckets, there's multiple topics. Most people will tackle two, maybe three, because that's all they really think is important or they have expertise in. I think you need to approach all seven, and they all work interrelated together. Our stress response, and maybe I'll go through the seven first and then I'll give my example. So mindset and motivation, you know, and again, there's multiple things that I'll go very high level. That's number one. Number two, control your glycemic variability. Most people call that nutrition. Movement, that's right for you. Our controlling our automatic nervous system, that's our stress response. And of course, there's a lot of things that fall under that, sleep being number one. Environmental factors. Again, back to my point from just a minute ago, we don't live in the same environment your great grandma lived in. Sorry, it's changed. It changes. It's changing daily. Number six. So those first five is what I work on in my group coaching program. Those first five. And then for my one individual clients, my one-on-one clients, we work on number six is something I call don't do stupid things, but it's basically a risk reward. Every choice we make throughout our day, and we make thousands, hundreds, if not thousands of every day, has a risk reward to it. If I do this, I can't do that. Do this, this might happen. And for the most part, we don't even think about them because the consequences are insequential. But there are choices that we make, maybe not on a daily basis, but certainly on a weekly, monthly, definitely by a yearly basis, that are profound. And we make this choice, but do we understand the risk-reward ratio? So an example I use quite often, say you're really into riding motorcycles. Great. Awesome. Do your thing. That's not for me, but awesome. Do you wear a helmet? Great. You wear a helmet. Awesome. Do you wear leathers? So if you should fall, you don't ratchet up your skin. Yes, you do. Awesome. Great. Do you take supplements to support brain health? So if you should fall and get a concussion, or if you play any sort of contact sport, do you take precautionary supplements to protect your brain? Or if you don't, if you should get an injury, do you have those supplements or modalities, treatment modalities on hand so you can take care of it right away? You don't. Okay, now we need to have a discussion. If you choose to do XYZ, you might want to consider these things. So that's kind of bucket number six. And then bucket number seven, the last bucket, and it's not for everyone, I understand. Many of my clients come to me specifically for this reason, but I think you need to work on the foundations first, those first five buckets, is the advanced, cutting edge, latest in science and technology. Someone might come say like, oh, my doctor says I need shoulder surgery. Well, maybe you do, but what about if you just got one shot of stem cells? Maybe that solves the problem. And the risk is actually way less than getting surgery. And then it goes on and on, right? There's so many cutting edge things. So that's one thing I also offer my clients is knowledge on what those options are on the leading cutting edge. And then also helping procure those services if they need. So a bit of a concierge service, like, okay, you want stem cells? Where are you located? Here's the best places in the world. Or North America, and some of my partnerships with, and et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on and on. Maybe it's technology. I don't have anything in my office that I can reach for it without with my being wired in, but I got a lot of tech that I play with myself that, you know, can put me in a state of relaxation, can help me sleep, fall asleep better, et cetera, et cetera. There's lots of little things like that that just people just aren't aware of, but you could be aware. If you struggle with XYZ thing, maybe there's a tech solution or there's a scientific breakthrough, a medical solution for you that's beyond what's normal. Because again, it takes an average 17 to 20 years from clinically researched, double-blind, proven modalities to make it to the front line, to your frontline doctor. That's a whole generation of doctors that don't know what's the latest and best practices. And they're still doing treatments from 20 years ago and, God forbid, 50 or 60 years ago, which we actually see now. So, yeah. So those are the seven big buckets that I work on with people. And I blend them all together because they're interrelated. Our environment relates to our stress. Our nutrition relates to our stress. Our stress relates to our nutrition. Our mindset relates to our stress. They all interplay with each other. So to discount any one of those and, oh, I only focus on this. Now, that plays a role to a degree. But if you really want long health span, it's not about lifespan, it's about health span. You got to take them all into account, in my opinion. And again, all those buckets. So going back, you know, to our high school chemistry, we all maybe remember, or maybe we don't, mitochondria. There's all little power plants in all of our cells. That's what actually controls our, creates our energy. So people are like, oh, I eat food. I get energy from food. Well, that's not actually true. That's a simplified version. The energy, your food gets broken down chemically. Your mitochondria use those byproducts and they actually produce ATP, which is actually our energy. And they're making all the decisions for our body. So healthy mitochondria for as long as you can, ages you gracefully for as long as possible, is also disease prevention. So I don't claim to prevent disease, but if you age healthy, chances are you're going to push some of those diagnoses out into the future. And I think we all want that.
That's amazing. So all these seven buckets, I think, are something that I know I have heard of at some point in some fashion, some way more frequent than others. And one of the things that I know I hear about a lot is the reason a lot of people don't step into that naturopathic lane is because insurance doesn't cover it. And so many people are relying on health insurance to cover things. And that's the only reason they will get services or do things for themselves. And yet we will spend, you know, $60 to eat out at a fast food restaurant, however much a day on Starbucks, when if we were to put that money aside and invest in our natural health, that gives us an opportunity. And I think about, you know, the cost of benefit. I know when my husband was working, we had amazing benefits. And we still, if we were to use the max of our benefits, not only paying how much we had to pay every year for our premiums, but pay our out-of-pocket with such a large family, we still never, I mean, you know, sometimes that would hit over $20,000 a year. And people don't realize it because it's a $20 copay here, $250 copay here. And once I hit my staff, then I don't have any more copays, I don't have any more cost. But over the time of a year, and by the time you're almost done paying off all those bills, you're right back to the beginning of the year again. And so I think prevention plays a huge part in us being able to improve our well-being. And yes, having health insurance is important. I think that's very important. And I think there's also room for us to look at what are the natural ways we can allow our bodies and the way our bodies are naturally created to heal themselves. We have to support that. And that comes into play with the food that we eat, the way that we think, the environment we live in, and all of those things. And I will say I'm not the greatest at all of those things just because I know about them. But I think it is important to determine how important it is to us.
Absolutely. And it goes back to what I said earlier about tying back to that why. What's that for you? For me, I never want to go back. I remember how sucky life was. I never want to go back to not being able to bend over and pick something up. My daughter's big now and she's heavy, but I don't want to go back there. For other people, you know, I've had clients who are like, they want to be the fun grandma. They want to be the grandma who is able to do stuff with their grandkids. Grandma who can get down on the floor and play Lego and get back up again and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you made a good point there. a lot of those things I talked about, so making smart decisions, don't do stupid things, that's free. That's just education. Mindset and motivation, most of those, again, there's multiple things in those buckets. That's essentially all that's free. A lot of the stress response things, free. Movement, you don't need a fancy gym membership or a bunch of equipment. And I actually prefer people don't. Again, depends on your goals and stage of life, et cetera. Really, there's only five basic exercises anybody needs to do, and you can do them at home using your own body weight. Again, depends on your goals. So essentially free. And if people actually really looked at it, you can eat. And again, it's going to be, there's no one size fits nutrition for anyone. If anybody tells you that, that's BS. There's like at least a dozen factors that go into what's right nutrition for you. You know, ethnicity, epigenetics, genetics, cultural, et cetera, et cetera. You know, man, woman, stage of life, activity levels, et cetera. Me and my wife eat 80% the same, and then the rest is different. And then our kids eat about 80% the same, and then they're different because they're in a different stage of life. They're still growing. So we're not too worried about, you know, within reason, of course, like carbs and sugar. They can still have Halloween candy within reason and whatever, right? Because they're growing kids. So they're a different stage of life. But point of bringing that up is that if you really look into it, eating right for you is probably actually cheaper than what you're doing now for most people. Going to get in the Starbucks, going to eat fast food, or maybe it's not even fast food, just going out to restaurants in general once, twice a week. That all adds up, and eating quality, nutritious food at home. And it's fine to go out once in a while and, you know, it's birthday party or something. Like, go out, yeah, enjoy, celebrate, put life into living. But for the most part, you can do this, eat quality food, organic food, actually cheaper than what most people spend on groceries. Because if you think about it, a lot of stuff you have in your pantry is really just a bunch of garbage. That if they replaced it with nutritious, quality, whole foods, real food, they'd be more nourished, they'd be more satisfied, they wouldn't get hungry either, they wouldn't need snacks, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it doesn't cost a lot. But again, if you want to really go, yeah, maybe insurance isn't going to cover it. And again, I had insurance plan going through my journey, but I had to pay a lot out of pocket still myself. And I've done subsequent stuff for improvement for myself. And that's maybe not what everyone else wants to do, but I've spent well over $40,000-$50,000. And probably the first 10 to 15 of that was just getting my back fixed.
Crazy. Well, thank you for sharing your story. I know that this conversation will empower and encourage many people. I want to let you guys know that in the description below, you will see a link for the free offer that Deepak has for you guys. And it's called Successful Leaders 7-Step Guide to Anti-Aging Habits in Minutes a Day. So I encourage you guys to go out, grab that, get into his world, get familiar, start learning. Even if you think this is like, I don't even know what this person's talking about, but you think that you might just want to understand, go check it out. It's better to learn and have knowledge and gain awareness than to not. So this was an amazing conversation. I appreciate you sharing.
Nick, can I just mention one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a great, just download that free guide and learn more about what I'm talking about, learn more about me. I'll just also, if I could just mention, depending when you see this recording, maybe when it's first released, maybe later on, I always, multiple times a year, run a series of free workshops that I talk about a lot of these topics in a little bit more depth. You know, again, thinking bigger, thinking bold, you know, that sort of thing. So just keep an eye out for those as well. Whenever you might see this, there's probably one coming up shortly or in the next couple of months that you might want to attend. Again, free workshop that people, you know, where you just get to learn more about my philosophy around healthy aging.
Oh, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's always a great opportunity when there's workshops going on where people can just jump in and learn a little bit more in depth. So that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I really enjoyed our conversation today.
You're welcome. I enjoyed having you. All the information is below. Any links you want to connect with Deepak are below as well. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and we will see you next time.